We move now to another emotionally charged provocation. The North Koreans might have had a clear motive and perhaps an opportunity or the means to hire a paid cyber assassin. As the details of Sony's hack attack became known over the past several weeks, the suspicion was always that North Korea might be behind it. The nation was publicly outraged over the release of the anti-North Korean comedy The Interview. Threats of actual violence on the eve of the movie's premiere had the ring of a dangerous Pyongyang rant about them, and the movie was withdrawn by Sony. President Obama said the U.S. will confront North Korea's cyber weapons.
They caused a lot of damage, and we will respond. We will respond proportionally, and we'll respond in a place and time and manner that we choose.
There's some familiar rhetoric. Does North Korea have weapons of mass internet destruction? And does the FBI and other U.S. officials saying they do, is that the end of the matter? Not by a long shot, says Kim Zetter, senior writer for Wired Magazine. Kim is author of the book Countdown to Zero Day, Stuxnet, and the Launch of the World's Digital Weapon. Kim Zetter, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
So what's the evidence? Is there any evidence? Is there a, you know, UN Colin Powell moment here that's legit or illegit?
Well, the evidence that the FBI has presented, and by the way, this is a bit unprecedented for them to even offer evidence in this way, but they've offered a couple of things. And one is that some of the code that was used in the attack is similar to attack that was used in a previous cyber attack against South Korea. But the problem with that is that the previous attack against South Korea has never definitively been shown to be connected to North Korea. It's all circumstantial evidence, and the FBI has hinted that perhaps there is additional evidence and methods and means that they can't disclose that offer perhaps even more definitive proof, but without that being made public, it's hard to really judge whether or not they have a standing to make the case against North Korea.
I hope I'm not falling outside of the area of your domain of your understanding here, but has there ever been a surveillance or a cyber attack linked to North Korea, as far as we know?
Well, the problem with is that attribution is difficult to make definitively, and unless you have, unless you're an agency like the NSA that might have sensors around the network or around the internet backbone, or even have a spyware inside North Korean computers, it's hard to say definitively that anyone can be attributed to an attack. You know, hackers find various ways to hide their activity and hide the source of their activity. So unless you can have insight into every node on the internet in order to find and follow all the tracks that a hacker might use to hide their identity, then it's difficult to say definitively. North Korea has been attributed in other attacks, but again, it's been circumstantial evidence that's connected them to those attacks as well.
The U.S. has gone on record saying that China has a cyber warfare capability that is nurtured by a whole university or facility somewhere in China, which the name of which has been presented in the past by U.S. officials, where people are trained to conduct industrial espionage. Does that constitute evidence? And are we far short of anything like that, looking at North Korea in this case?
It's a little difficult sometimes to distinguish between a freelance hacker and one that's actually working for the state. And in China, the supposition is that there are these university students who work on behalf of the government, and they may be, you know, paid full time by the government, or they may get paid when they find, they may work on their own and they get paid or rewarded in some way when they uncover an important system, when they get into an important system, or they uncover important intelligence. And so China has really sort of industrialized that kind of activity in a full-time way. And in fact, earlier this year, the government, the U.S. government, indicted five senior military officials, accusing them of economic espionage and other activity. So that was unprecedented for them to do that.
Well, we certainly understand that there was a hack, so somebody has some kind of capability. And let's zero in on this question of freelance versus state-sponsored. I mean, in a sense, a hacker could be very much like Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, and Dan Sterling, the writers of The Interview. Hey, this would be, like, totally awesome to do this, like, really funny thing and say it was North Korea. I bet we could get this movie pulled by Sony. it could have the quality of a prank that went way beyond that, right?
Yes. And I make that claim in the article that I wrote where I was examining this evidence that, you know, I think a lot of people are ignoring the evidence to the contrary against North Korea, that perhaps this was hacktivists like that, and they've gone a little too far. And maybe, you know, they're sitting there quaking at their computers right now, sort of amazed at how seriously everyone is taking this. And I want to point out also that their first demands to Sony never mentioned North Korea or mentioned the movie. So we have sort of two competing sets of evidence here, the one that the FBI offers, and then sort of the evidence that the hackers themselves are offering.
This could even be two hacks, the original on the executives at Sony and then an opportunistic piggyback hack attack.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I want to say that Sony is kind of known in the security community as being lax in security. They've been hacked before. They were hacked by Anonymous and other groups. And judging by the information that's come out about this particular hack, Sony was entirely hijacked, all of its networks. And so there's a good possibility that multiple sets of hackers were inside its network.
Well, it's fascinating. Lots to think about there on something that we assumed was settled maybe as recently as last week. Kim Zetter is a senior writer for Wired Magazine and the author of the book Countdown to Zero Day, Stuxnet and the Launch of the World's Digital Weapon. Kim, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.